We planted the first church in Romania 13 years ago, right after we got married. We came probably 12 years ago, let me put it like that, 12 years ago. We came at the beginning, I mean, we had 5 days that were kind of looking like a honeymoon. It wasn't really a honeymoon because we traveled. But I came to the States for and traveled for 5 months, going in and ministering with David and his dad. We call him Papa Bill. And we went to different churches, and then we went to Asia. And we went to Cambodia, Vietnam, Nepal, Bhutan, Burma, which is Myanmar. So that's Southeast Asia and the Himalayan mountains. And I loved it. I enjoyed it so much. They're just going and ministering to pastors and leaders. I remember when it was 4,000 pastors for that conference. And that was their new pastors that they had in Cambodia. Because of what God is doing in that country is revival. So every single year, they have about 4,000 pastors that they need to release in ministry because of how much they are growing. And in Vietnam, we'd go and meet in a place that was outside a little bit of the city where people from the tribal areas could come, and it was not legal what we were doing. So we would go on motorcycles with helmets and then cover our faces so that the police couldn't see that we were not Vietnamese, we are not Asian. And so everything that we did was in secret. They had kids outside of the building and out on the streets, and they would tell the other child. They had the signals ready in case police was coming. And we would stay in the meeting place, like in a church building, from morning till evening. So we'd go there in the morning and teach and train, then take a break, lunch break. We all ate together, and then we all slept on the floor. No beds there, but everybody just lied down on the floor and took a nap. It was so hot and humid, no AC. You guys would die without AC, I think. I don't know. I mean, when I come in the States, I always had to bring jackets with me, sweaters, scarves. I go to California, and I'm hoping, oh, nice, warm weather. And my mother-in-law turns off the AC. Oh, Mama Joan, please. But it's too cold for me. I'm not used to AC. I didn't grow up with AC in my house. So when you go to Asia, it's hot and humid. And no AC. And then we have other training sessions in the afternoon, and then go back on the motorcycle and go to the place where we'll stay. And it was wonderful. So we did that for several years, but then about almost 12 years ago, we went to Romania, and because of a word that God gave us and confirmed through different prophetic voices, to plant churches. And we started then the first church, and now we have 3 congregations. And we can't wait to plant the 4th one and so on. Because God called us to go and preach the gospel to all people. Amen. And we want to go to cities and villages and different communities and bring the good news. There's a city in Romania that has 150,000 people. That's a big city. No church where the Holy Spirit can move. Okay, 150,000 people, students from all over the world go in that city to study. And nothing, not a work there yet, because we are praying and to see how we can go there, and we're working with different people and training different people. But our vision is to do that in Romania, plant churches, but also go on mission trips to Asia and maybe soon in South America. Maybe Mexico or other places. But God has called us to do this, and I want to say a big thank you for you guys being involved in what God has called us to do. And it's not something that Jesus spoke to us to do, but He chose us to do this, and you are partners with us in what He has called all of us to do. Amen. And I want to say thank you for your offering. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for supporting us, loving us, and welcoming us every single time when we come here in El Dorado and also in Camden. So a big thank you from us and from our church back at home. Whatever you do, it matters. No matter how small it is, and no matter how big it is, everything that you do, it matters to God and to us also. And we get encouraged to see you guys being there for us. You feel like somebody is thinking about you, cares about you, and you're not left alone. Amen? John G. Lake had to come back to the States after being in Africa and seeing revival because his wife just passed away because there was no money for him to be able to buy food for his family. His wife starved to death, and John G. Lake was a man of God that God used for huge miracles in South Africa. He wrote books and he's a very famous Christian man, but I want to say that the church could have done a lot more at that time for that man and what they were doing in South Africa. And he wants us to have a heart. God wants us to have a heart that cares for people that are on the mission field and for different nations. Our church back at home, we took up an offering for the church in Nepal and Bhutan. They needed musical instruments, one of the churches, and the other one, the pastor in Nepal that we work with, he has a training center where pastors go to be trained so that they can go afterwards in the mountains where sometimes you have to walk for 7 days and plant churches there. So they go and get training in Kathmandu, which is the capital of Nepal, in his center that he has there for training people. And he needed help with paying for their food and what they need for the school year. Those people don't have anything. And the minute that they say we're leaving our house to go and get training, they don't have any type of money, nothing. So we were able to help pay for all of his students for the whole year. And God moved on the people, and we saw that what we are doing there can have an impact in Asia. What you guys are doing here has an impact in other places. And I want to encourage you to always look ahead, to always think, we can do so much for the kingdom of God. I mean, Romania is not a rich country like the United States, but we still can do something. We all can do something for the kingdom of God. Amen. So today I want to continue what I spoke on this morning. This morning I spoke on steps towards miracles, your miracle. But now I want to talk about steps towards your calling. So I want to open in 1 Kings in chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Steps towards your calling. Thank you, Jesus. And I read from the first verse. Now Elijah said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except to my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. One of the main things in our lives, as we step towards our calling, what God wants us to do, it is to do exactly what the Bible says that Elijah did here. It says this, it says, "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord." According to the word of the Lord. If God tells you be an engineer, you don't go to the medical school. That's kind of simple. Amen? So he did according to the word of the Lord. This is something that we need to have it as strong in our hearts. We did do according to the word of the Lord. Because there is a miracle waiting for us as we do according to the word of the Lord. There is provision for us as we do according to the word of the Lord. There is health for us as we do according to the word of the Lord. There is transformation for us as we do according to the word of the Lord. Elijah, we don't know anything about him until this very moment. His country is in a terrible state, but God comes and he raises up this man as a prophet. And we don't know too much about him, about his past, about his history. And this is such an encouragement, I believe, for all of us. That even though our past is hard or heavy or broke or is wonderful and it was easy for us, no matter what, that doesn't qualify or disqualify us for the calling that God has for our lives. We don't know too much about Elijah, but what we know is that he came with the word of the Lord. He could hear God. And you can hear God. You can hear God speak to you. The many times when we are at home and we don't even realize that God spoke to me. Sometimes we wash dishes. Sometimes you can do laundry. Sometimes you can mow the lawn. Sometimes you can go to work and be just in your car driving and you don't realize God is speaking to me. Because He doesn't always speak in the way that we expect or the time that we expect. But as we become more and more aware of the presence of God and of the Word of God that can come to us, He will speak to us deeper and deeper. Elijah went and gave a word that was not an easy word. There will be drought. It wasn't something that you would want to prophesy to a king that was killing babies and children. The firstborn of every woman in the country was taken by soldiers and threw into the fire as a worship towards their false gods. It was a very hard time, and Elijah's life was in danger because of the word of the Lord. But he went and he shared that word, he spoke that word, and there was no more rain. And God told him, go to that stream of water, go to the Cherith Brook. And when he went there, God said that I already commanded the ravens to come and to feed you. And there is water there for you. And you can hide there. And there are times when you feel like almost like you're in a hiding place. That God is protecting you. God is taking care of you supernaturally. This was a supernatural provision. This was a time in Elijah's life when he was all by himself next to a brook. Now imagine, when God told him, go to the brook, if he had said no. If he had said no to what God told him to do, he would have probably starved to death. Because there were many people in that time that died because of hunger. And or maybe he could have been found by the king. Because the king was looking for him. He sent soldiers all over the place to find him. There is protection for us as we obey the word of the Lord. There is safety for us as we obey the word of the Lord. As we walk with the Lord and according to what He spoke of our lives, we will be safe and we will be taken care of. When we started, me and David, I gave up. I had a very good job in my city. I studied public services management as my master's degree. I worked for the mayor that became the prime minister of Romania. I had a very good job. And I was also teaching in kindergarten and preschool and giving private English classes to little kids. And I loved it. And I was doing a lot during that time, but God spoke to me that I'm supposed to go to Russia. And that was not easy. Give up your job and go to Russia. Well, Russia is very cold. Very cold. And I went to Russia in December. The middle of December. It was extremely cold. You would feel like your face was going to freeze and just fall off. I was always cold, like the whole winter. There was always snow on the ground from December to April. That's how long I stayed there. 6 months I stayed there. And it was cold all the time. And I stayed with the pastors there, Pastor Sergei and Marina, his wife. Wonderful couple. And David was staying with some people from the church that were helping with the youth ministry. And I went there to be able to serve after a dream that I had from God that I was supposed to go to Russia. But I gave up my job. And that was my safety. Because at the beginning, when I was a student in my city, I didn't have a job. And I prayed until I got a job. Amen? That's a good thing. Pray until you get a job. That's a very smart idea. And so I prayed, I had a job, and then my job got better and bigger, and I was very happy. And then the word of the Lord came and said, you have to leave. You have to go to Russia. So, you know, when God comes and speaks to you, it's almost like a shocking experience sometimes, especially for me, go to another country. And it was a country that Romanians didn't like very much. Because the Russians came and brought communism in my country. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go. So I gave up my job, and then I realized, oh no, I don't have that much money saved. And how am I going to go to Russia and live there? So the pastors, they took really good care of me when it comes to food and things like that. But I remember that I couldn't go in the store to buy, you know, like a girl like once in a while to have a face cream and makeup. And no, I could not do that. So God took all of that out of my life and said, well, can you trust in me? Can you minister without having that safety net and your family and friends? And I did not speak any Russian when I left and went there. And the people that I was staying with, they didn't speak any Russian either. And they didn't speak any English or any Romanian. So they were speaking a language that I didn't know, and we started talking together, me in English or in Romanian, didn't make any difference because they didn't speak any, and we just used sign language. And if you are hungry enough, you learn how to tell somebody I'm hungry. It's not very complicated. Or you'll go and you'll find the fridge and the kitchen and make some food. But it was not easy to go there. Everything there was different. When I first went on a bus in Russia, I was thinking, what's wrong? Something's wrong here. And I didn't know what it was wrong. And I kept on thinking, what's wrong? What's wrong? About half an hour later on the bus, I thought, I know what's wrong. Nobody is talking to anybody. It's so quiet. Because back at home in Romania, so Romania is a Latin country, the only Latin country in Eastern Europe, so we all talk to each other and we are very loud. So on the bus, everybody, even if you don't know the person next to you, you talk to the person next to you. And you ask them questions, and soon you'll know everything about their family and their kids. Well, the Russian people, they are not like that. They will talk to you, but in their kitchen, at home, when they feel safe and private. So I was in a situation that was very different than what I was used to. But God called me to go there. Just because you're in a situation today that is more difficult, it doesn't mean that God is not there, that God is not involved in that, that God didn't lead you into that place. Because Elijah had to go there, and he had to be by himself and learn, like I said this morning, to be alone but not lonely, to communicate with God and to listen to his voice. And he went to that brook. If he had not gone there, he would have died. Soon, the brook was left without water and dried up. So what is he going to do next? The Lord comes to him and said, go again. Go, says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. God spoke to that woman to feed Elijah, and the woman didn't even know that God spoke to her. God said here, I have commanded a widow woman to take care of you. And she did not know that God has commanded her to do that. When Elijah starts walking towards that place, he was going to the hardest place in the whole nation, because that was the place that had the most witchcraft in the whole country at the time. And there was a widow woman that had just a little bit of flour left and a little bit of oil left, and she had a son. She told Elijah when they met, I'm here to get some wood, to make a fire and cook a meal, and we're both going to die. Many times I thought that this woman maybe is depressed or upset. But if she was depressed, she would have been at home thinking, I just have a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, I better just stay home and die and do nothing. But she still left her house and went to get some wood to make this last meal. She didn't give up until the last moment. And many times we give up too quickly. Too quickly. What if she was at home and feel sorry for herself and be discouraged? What if she said, well, What's the point? Anyway, I'm going to die. Why make this effort and go to get wood for the fire? She could have just stayed home and say, well, it's just a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour left. We better die and that's it. She still made an effort to go. And she didn't stay in the house. She went. And that's where she met Elijah. As we go, we meet what God has for us, our solution. If we just stay, nothing happens. Nothing changes. Peter, come out of the boat. If he had stayed in the boat, he would have never walked on the water. Come out of the boat and start walking on something that you're not used to be on. And do something that you're not familiar with. Do something with your life. I mean, don't do the same thing over and over again and expect that there will be different results. Change something. Change something in what you're doing. And start walking towards your calling. Here is Elijah meeting this woman. She doesn't know that God spoke to her to feed Elijah. And many times as Christians, we don't know that God spoke to us already. That there was a word release of our lives. Each person here has a destiny in God. Each person that is here has a calling from the Lord. Each person has a finish line. Each person has a race. Each person has a destiny that was spoken about before you were born by God in heaven. Each one of us here. Nobody is here and God says, well, I'm happy you're around, but I have a plan with the one next to you. There is no such a thing in the kingdom of God. Every person is born in the kingdom of God with a plan, with a destiny and a purpose that God has already spoken about. And it is in the glory. It has already been released in the glory. And all that we need to do is get in proximity with the anointing and God will share it with us through somebody. Because that woman, the word was released over her in the heavens, was released already. But as she met Elijah and she got close to the anointing, that word, she could hear it now. But it wasn't Elijah that spoke it. God had already spoken it. Sometimes we think, well, this person is ministering to me, praying for me, prophesying over me. It's not that person only. It's something that God has already spoken about. Now you're just in the place where you can hear what He has spoken about, maybe not just a year ago, not just 2 years ago, but before you were born. It was already released. And we need to get into the place where we can hear what God has for us. Elijah had to change so much. He had to walk a lot. He didn't have a chariot. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a Ferrari to go fast. He didn't have any other option than to walk. So he started walking to all of these places where God told him to go to. Go here, go here, go there. He gets used to being in this widow woman's house, taking care of her son and of the people in the community. But then soon after that, it says in chapter 18 in verse 1, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go, show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. Before there is rain, there is a going. Before rain comes, somebody needs to go and obey the word of the Lord. Before there is rain, somebody needs to go in the prayer closet and pray. Before there is rain, somebody needs to go and join some other people and pray together. Before there is rain, somebody needs to go and listen to what God wants to speak to them. Spend time with the Lord. There is a going before there is a rain. If you are in the house, you don't know that there is rain outside unless you look out of the window. But if you go outside of your house and if it rains, you're going to get wet. But if you stay in the house, nothing will happen. You have to go somewhere. You have to do something. You have to move forward. Elijah was continually moving forward. He couldn't stop to just one place. He couldn't stop to just knowing something. And many times we get in trouble because we stop and we get stuck in the past. But our Christian walk is a walk of faith. God called Abraham and told him, go and leave your father's house. Go and come to the place that I will show you, and I will give you the promised land. If Abraham had decided, I'll just stay home and be comfortable in what I know to do and how I know to do things, there have never been a promised land for Abraham. And we always need to move forward in God, get closer to Him, learn different things from Him. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't get stuck in what God did in your life yesterday or this morning or a year ago. But keep on pursuing the Lord. Keep on running after Him and going after Him. There is a race for each one of us. During the ancient times, when Paul talks about the race, there was a custom, the race where people would run in Greece. At the time it was in Greece, in many of the Greek big cities, Corinth and Athens. When people would go and race there, they would get ready to run. But then other people would come on the sides. And maybe let's say that it was 10 of us running today this race. Your friends, your family, my friends, my family would go around this race somewhere at a distance where we couldn't see, and they would come and throw on the path, throw on the road gold. And whichever of the racers would stop to even look at what was on the ground, to even, some of them would say, well, maybe I'll just pick it a little bit, pick it up and still run. They will lose the race. They will lose the race. You have to walk so determined. You have to run so determined over what God has for you that you do not allow distractions to come and pull you aside and stop you from your race. Elijah couldn't afford to go slow, couldn't afford to miss it, because what he was doing was so critical at the time. So now he has to go again and meet the king. And after he meets the king, he says, let's go again on Mount Carmel. And after he goes with the people of Israel on Mount Carmel, he says, let's go again, and he goes towards Mount Horeb. So he's always going, and he ends up on Mount Horeb. After 40 days of going through the desert, he gets on the mountain of the Lord, and he's tired. After all of this going, he gets tired. And sometimes as we walk towards our calling, we can get tired, just like Elijah did. He got so tired, but once he got there, God came and he started speaking to him. And we would think that God would tell Elijah at this point, it's okay for you to stop. You've done such a great job. I'm so proud of you now. All that you want, I want you to do is to just sleep and do nothing for the rest of your life. You have accomplished so many things, Elijah. You destroyed about 800 of false prophets. You brought fire from heaven. You brought rain from heaven. You have done so many things. Now it's time for you to stop and sit down and do nothing else with your life. But listen, in 1 Kings in chapter 19, here is Elijah on the mountain, on Mount Horeb. He meets God. He tells God everything that he did for him. And this is how he goes to the Lord many times. This is what Elijah said. I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. Verse 14. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. So we go to the Lord when we are tired, exhausted. We have done so much, and we say, Lord, look at everything that I have done. Everything that I have done well, and look at what they are doing wrong. Look at what other people are doing, and look at what I am doing. Look at my victories, and look at their misery. Something like that. And then God comes to him, and what God tells him, he says, go, return on your way. He tells him again, go. He doesn't say, it's okay, just stay here for a week. Stay here for the rest of your life and sleep. Don't do anything else in your Christian life because you have accomplished so much. Just stay. No, he tells him, go. Go again, go. Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehola, you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. And then he tells him all the details about how he's supposed to still go, as the chapters, as you read the other chapters that are coming, that Elijah is still supposed to go in the whole nation and train people and train prophets and go to different prophetic schools and train the next generations. So God doesn't tell Elijah, you're supposed to stop, because there is no such a thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, even when you are 80 years old, you can still do something for God. Just read about Caleb. He was 84 years old. He said, I'm as strong as in my 40s. And I want to go and get the highest mountain where those giants, the most difficult place that you can win in this country, that is mine. He didn't stop, Caleb didn't stop just because they entered the promised land. Just because they had one victory. He said, no, I had a dream when I was in my 40s that I've been fighting for and walking towards all of these years. And when other people were complaining and murmuring, I kept on my faith and I kept on fighting and walking and going through this desert. And now that we got in the promised land, I'm not just going to settle and do nothing. I want my mountain. And we need to be so determined and say, I want my mountain. What is your mountain? What is the most difficult thing in your life? What is the place that has the most problems? What is that area in your life that where you feel like, oh, there are where the giants live? Because that's what God wants you to get. That's what God wants you to have. That is your promised land. That is the place where God is going to anoint you to have victory. God tells Elijah, go. And he goes and he finds this man, this young man called Elisha. And Elisha, it says, there was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me just say goodbye to my parents and I'll come and follow you. So Elisha, something happened in Elisha's life when Elijah just went and threw his cloak over him. Now remember, God had already spoken the word over Elisha before Elisha knew about it. First, God spoke to Elijah on the mountain and said, I have anointed Elisha to be the prophet that is going to come after you. Elisha didn't know about it. There are things that God has for you. God spoke over your life that you don't know yet about. God spoke to Elijah on the mountain. This is my plan for Elisha. But Elisha didn't know about it. And he was just plowing the ground and serving his father. He was just plowing the ground. What ground? The ground that was dry. I mean, it just rained in the country, but that ground was hard ground. Because it hasn't rained that much yet. For such a long time, for more than 3 years, there was drought in that country. And Elisha was plowing that hard ground. And you might be plowing a hard ground today. You might feel like, I'm just serving, I'm just plowing, I'm just doing this thing every single day, the same routine all over again. But when you keep your heart pure, when you keep your heart clear of all unforgiveness or bitterness towards God, and when you keep on plowing, God will speak a word over your life. And just because you haven't heard that word yet, it doesn't mean that there isn't a word there for you. Just because you haven't had somebody come to you and throw their cloak over you, it doesn't mean that it's not available for you. Why? Because when Elijah goes to Elisha, he doesn't say a word to him. But the word was already spoken. There might not be words, but there was just a touch. Like that woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. When Elisha felt that coat that Elijah threw on him, it wasn't just fabric. It was a word that was spoken, and there was an anointing that was released. And Elisha, he started running towards Elijah. He said, let me just go and say goodbye. He had a feast with his family. It was a goodbye feast. And he started going after Elijah for several years. Do you know what job he had? What was Elisha's job? To take water and wash Elijah's hands. It wasn't to prophesy. It wasn't to pray for people. It was to serve. That was his job description. Just serve. Just serve. Just do whatever is necessary. So for several years, he goes with Elijah to all of the places where Elijah goes. And like we saw, he liked walking. He liked going to different places because God would tell him, go here, go there, go. We never hear that Elisha complained about it. We never hear that Elisha said, well, I don't like my bed tonight. I don't like the house where we're staying tonight. Nothing like that. He followed Elijah for several years. And then time came for Elijah to go to the Lord. And in 2 Kings, in chapter 2, I want to read a little bit of this passage. Because it is also related to what I'm talking about tonight. Steps towards our calling. It says this, now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master over you? From over you. And he said, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. Elijah, those are the people that were throwing the gold on his own race to try to distract him. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha. So they came even closer than the other ones. And they told him, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you? And he answered, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. And Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. 50 men, this time even more of the sons of the prophets, also went. And they stood at a distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. If he had stopped in either one of those places, Elijah would have never asked him this question, what can I do for you? And he could have not asked for a double portion. What was a double portion? In the Old Testament, it talks that the inheritance of the firstborn is a double portion. So he was naming Elijah his father, his spiritual father. He said, I am the firstborn. I am the one that can ask for the double portion from your spiritual inheritance. But he could not have done that unless he walked again and again from place to place with Elijah. Walking towards our calling. walking towards our calling, you walk with people that can disciple you. Elisha walked with Elijah because Elijah could disciple him. Timothy walked with Paul. He left his house. He left his family, his mother and his grandmother. And he walked with Paul, just serving Paul. At the beginning, when Timothy walked with Paul and went to different places, he was not preaching, he was not teaching, he wasn't doing anything. When he got in Corinth, where Paul was a tent maker. So he was making tents for a living. And he couldn't preach the gospel that much because he had to work a lot. But when Timothy got there and Silas got there, they were helping Paul with the tent so that Paul can preach more. They were just serving. The time came later on when Paul would send Timothy to every church where Timothy traveled with Paul at the beginning, and they said he would tell that church, receive Timothy. Go Timothy there and preach there. Timothy at the age of 19 became a pastor in Ephesus, probably a church of over 20,000 people. Serving. Walk with people that can disciple you. Walk with a heart to serve and not for a position. Walk with a heart to serve and not for a position. Elisha walked to serve. He didn't look for a position. Why? Because Elijah didn't tell him, you're going to be the next prophet. He just put a cloak over him. And it was Elisha's choice. Will I go and not even know what's going to wait for me? Will I go and do this? There was never the word. Elisha didn't hear that prophecy. So he started just following and serving Elijah. David, he was serving his father, taking care of the flock on the field, just serving. And then his father one day tells him, you go and bring some food to your brothers on the battlefield. David could have said, well, they didn't let me go with them to the battlefield. He could have been upset about the whole situation. Or he could have said, why should I go and bring food to my brothers? They should take care of themselves. But he left somebody with his flock and he took that food and went on the battlefield. He didn't go there because there was a giant. He had no idea what was happening. They didn't have cell phones during that time. He didn't know what was going on. His father didn't know what was going on. Nobody knew what was going on the battlefield. The father just said, go and check on your brothers. See what's happening. Bring them some food. They've been there for 40 days. He didn't know what was waiting for him there. He didn't go to look for a fight. He didn't go to look for a position. He didn't go to meet Goliath or to kill Goliath. He just started walking, serving his father and serving his brothers. The brothers that he served were going to come to a day. He was going to be the leader of those that he served. First is serving and then is leadership. First you serve and then God will raise you up. And he goes on the battlefield to bring food. And when he is there, he realizes, I'm here for something bigger than this. I'm here because of the calling that God has on my life. But he walked in obedience to what his father told him to do. Just like Elijah, he walked in obedience to what God called him to do. Walk with a pure heart towards your calling. Elisha had a pure heart. When Naaman, that I spoke about this morning, was healed, he offered Elisha money and all types of things. And Elisha said, I don't need anything. I don't need all of this stuff. It's not, you don't have to pay for your healing. That is not the mindset of the kingdom of God. Freely you have received, freely give. It's not like that. Then Gehazi comes and he thinks, oh, I can gain something out of this. So he goes and he takes the money. He goes and he takes the clothes. And Elisha says, where have you been? Well, just going about. He said, well, hasn't my spirit gone with you when you went there? Do we know that the Holy Spirit goes with us in the places where we shouldn't be going? That God sees everything? When I was growing up, when I was a little girl, I grew up in a family that was not filled with the Holy Spirit. But my parents, my grandmother, they were people that would go to church every Sunday. So this is one thing that my mother taught me. She said this: no matter what you do or where you go, you need to know that God sees everything. That was a simple truth. A simple truth. My mother didn't ever ask me, come home at this hour. Or don't do this or don't do that. She said, you just know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. My aunt told my cousin, you're supposed to be at home at this hour. And if you're not at home at this hour, you're going to be in trouble. By that hour, my cousin did everything that she could do, all the bad things that she could have done, because she had no idea that God, not her mother, saw what she was doing. And it was worse in the eyes of God than in the eyes of her mother what she was doing. So my mother didn't have to give me laws. She gave me the fear of God. She gave me an understanding that He watches my heart and what I do, and my mother doesn't need to know about it. Because when we train our kids like this, when they go to school, when they go to college, when they are not with us, they will know God still is here. God still sees. God still watches. And He's the one that we are responsible before. It is to Him that we can come. Before Him we can come and say, I have done this or I have not done this. And here we see that Gehazi didn't have a pure heart. And that's why he couldn't be the next prophet. He didn't walk with God with a pure heart. Walk by faith as you walk towards your calling. Not by circumstances, not by your feelings and what's happening around you. It says in Genesis in chapter 13, if we look there, that God told Abraham to start walking in that promised land. As he went there, that place was just a desert. As Abraham went there, God was speaking to him. This is a new Bible. And it says here, I'm going to read from verse 14. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot has separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth. And then it says, arise, walk through the land and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. So Abraham moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. He said, walk this land. Walk it, round it. And he did. He walked by faith. Even so, there was nothing in the promised land yet for him. Walk with a willingness to sacrifice. Because when you walk towards your calling, you'll have to sacrifice things. You have to let down things. Elisha, he had to leave his business behind him. He had to leave his family's house behind him, his whole past, so that he can walk to what God has called him to do. And when I moved to Russia, I told you I had to leave all of that behind me. And God was my provider. And slowly and surely, I saw Him taking care again of my needs, just as He did at the beginning. And He will be faithful to us as we walk with Him, and as we are willing to sacrifice what in fact He has given us. Because Abraham was willing to go to the mountain and bring his own son, Isaac, as a sacrifice before the Lord. God honored that, and He gave Abraham a promise, and He gave Isaac a promise. And then He started blessing Abraham so much that he was named a prince among his people. But we need to be able to be willing to sacrifice. There are so many people today in the world Christians, young people, old people alike, that don't understand that walking with Jesus means sacrifice. It means to be willing to let everything go. It means to be willing to put everything at His feet. He is the one that has blessed us from the beginning. He gave us our parents, He gave us our children, He gave us our house, He gave us our car, He gave us everything that we have today, even our own ministries. It comes from Him, and we need to be willing to put it all down at His feet and say, not my will, but your will be done. We need to have that willingness to let go of the things that He needs to, that He's telling us, let go of that. As parents, I'm sure it was not easy for you to let go of your children at times, to let them go to college, to let them go to another city. When I was 14, I went to a boarding school. 14 years old, to leave your house and your parents' house is not easy. And to go and study somewhere else. I went and I studied math and physics. And as I went there, I was with other kids that were going to study also math and physics. But in my classroom, we became a family. We became friends. And wherever God brings us as His children, as Christians, we can make family and community around us. We can make friendships. We can develop that sense of community with the people around us. It doesn't matter what you leave behind. It matters what you're building now around you. It doesn't matter what you sacrifice. It matters what you're doing after the sacrifice. How are you going to start now? What are you going to do next? What is it that God has for you today? What do you think that God has for you this next year? Are you stuck in the former things? Are you stuck in your past? Or are you stuck in your routine? Are you willing today to start walking again? Arise and walk. Arise and go. Arise and go to the place that I have called you to be in. Arise and do this one thing. Arise and do that. Do you know that for you to be able to minister, you have to get off of your chair and do something? To be able to minister, you have to get out of the chair and go and say, Pastor, I have a word from the Lord for our congregation today. Pastor, I desire to pray for that person. I feel like God wants me to pray for that person to be healed today. But we cannot do that if we just sit around and have all of these things from the Holy Spirit in us, but we are not willing to sacrifice our fear, our comfort, our chair, and walk towards what God is calling us to do. This is a time for us in the church that we start moving on and moving past what we are comfortable with and what we have been doing until now. Get closer to the presence of God. Do you know, I was so happy to see Layla singing, because for her to be singing today here on the stage, it means that she had to walk up the stage and take a mic and sing. And she led at one point. And I was so happy. She has such a beautiful voice. And she led. She did something. You know, God wants us to do something more than what we did last year. Last year when I was here, she was not doing this. But she's grown. And she will keep on growing as she's walking closer to the Lord and in obedience. Somebody told her, would you like to sing? Or maybe she went and said, I would like to sing. But you know that even your willingness to sing, it's not easy to sing, even though you're willing. If you have to lead like she led today, you have to get bold. But natural boldness doesn't help. Spiritual boldness will do the trick. I saw strong people, very bold, and I give them the mic, and they're shaking like a leaf, and they cannot find their words. But they are strong, and they are bold, and they are not shy. But once you get a mic and you start singing in the spirit, you start prophesying to people, it has nothing to do with natural boldness. It has nothing to do with it. Don't think, well, I don't have that personality like that person. No, you have the Holy Spirit. And God is calling you to move and to walk more towards your calling, more than ever before. Come to the mountain of the Lord. Come be willing to sacrifice. Walk with Him. What did Jesus tell His disciples? He said this, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. He didn't tell them, stay in Jerusalem for the rest of your life. He told them, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. But then go. Go and preach the gospel. Go and preach it to your neighbors. Go and preach to your friends. Go and tell them about Jesus. This is what Jesus told the disciples. And this is what He's telling us to do today. Go to your friends. Go to your neighbors. Go to that person that you have just met. Go and encourage them. Go and talk to them. Go and allow the Holy Spirit to move through you. Many times, too many times, we don't do anything and we are still in our own Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit has come and He has filled us up and we are still in Jerusalem. And the disciples, they received the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they are still in Jerusalem. Do you know what made them go? It was persecution. It was God coming and shaking their whole world. And then they left and then they started going and then they started sharing the gospel with other people. We don't need to wait for persecution to come, amen? We don't need for that to happen so that we go. I encourage you this week. I encourage you this next month. Go to somebody and tell them about Jesus. Go to somebody that you have never met before and bring them to church. Go and just talk to them and watch and see that what the Holy Spirit will do. Do you know that the Bible says once we take one step towards God, it takes 1,000 steps towards us. It takes that one step of faith. It takes one step of faith and then God comes. Our feet need to be set free. Amen? Our feet need to be set free. We need to start walking more. We're too comfortable in our own cars. We need to start walking more. We need to walk to people. We need to walk closer to what God has for us. This is a year when I believe that God wants you to start walking. Arise and walk. Arise and go. Arise and go to somebody and give somebody a hug. Somebody that you have not met before, go and tell them, my name is. And introduce yourself to somebody. Go to those around you. Go to your neighbors. Go to your friends. Go to your teachers. Go to people and invite them over for Thanksgiving. Amen? Go and find somebody that needs encouragement. This is not a time to just stay still and do nothing. This is a time to go and get closer to your destiny, your calling in God, and everything that heaven has already spoken over you that you haven't heard, because we need to position ourselves in a place where that word will be released. And God wants to release tonight, I believe, strong words in this place. Strong words over your life related to your calling and your destiny. This morning, I was watching what the Holy Spirit was doing, and He told me that tonight, He wanted to minister to people related to their calling. So I want to speak words over you to release you into the next level that God has for you. Into the next stage in your calling. To the next stage that heaven already spoke over your life. Don't be satisfied with what you experienced there at the brook. Don't be satisfied with what you experienced in the widow's house. Don't be satisfied with what you saw, the fire, the earthquake, and everything on the mountain. Go closer to what God has for you tonight. And He's calling you. Maybe you have never heard. a prophetic word. Maybe you never have somebody come and prophesy over you. I want to especially minister to you then tonight. First of all, if you have never received a prophetic word, if nobody ever prophesied to you, I want to speak a word over you tonight. Amen? I believe that heaven is here. That those words were spoken long time ago about you. But God wants you to come here tonight, so that somebody will share that with you. And especially if you have never received a prophecy, I want to minister to you. God wants to speak your calling. God wants to speak about your past, about your present, about your future. So first of all, let's stand up together.